I want to start off with two stories. Both took place when I was with the youth in Appalachia doing something called the Appalachia Service Project, which is a week down in that area. And we don't build houses from scratch, but the houses were so ramshackled, the week you spent there was like building a house from scratch. So the place we spent that week was called the Build Site, much like it is in Habitat for Humanity. The first story is called Bobo and the Bureau. The Bureau was a six-drawer dresser, and we were laying carpet in one room, and we were putting up drywall and painting in another all at the same time. And another team was up putting up insulation in the attic of the house. The house had been in bad shape to begin with, and then a hurricane came and flooded it out the prior year. So we were very busy taping and spackling the walls in one room and preparing the other room. And so we had to move this bureau from room to room, which was no big deal except for one thing. There was nothing in that bureau, that dresser, except for a mouse. And this mouse was able to get from drawer to drawer. Every time we pulled the drawer out trying to get the mouse or free the mouse, it went to another drawer. We could not get it out. And so we just kept moving the bureau around with the mouse in it. The other character in our story is named Bobo. Bobo was the family dog. Bobo was 16 years old. He was a little teddy bear of a dog, a terrier something. And he had, as his age kind of would lead you to believe, no teeth. And so the homeowner would cut his moist food down to about a quarter size so he could swallow it. Well, one day when the young people in the group were up near the ceiling taping and spackling and I was down below holding the ladder, I started feeling a little sorry for myself. Most of you know I have MS and there's a balance problem, so going up on a ladder was a bit much when younger people were there to do that. But I sat there in the heat and started thinking and feeling a little sorry for myself, and a pity party began. And the kids were out getting materials, and so I was just sitting there alone, and all of a sudden here comes Bobo into the room. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, the two of us are, we were once quite useful around a place like this. We're past our prime now, so thank you for joining me in this room so I have you to relate to. A moment later, Bobo darts to the bureau, starts circling it and sniffing, and all of a sudden, Bobo, in his toothless jaw, gets a hold of the tail of the mouse, pulls the mouse out of the bureau, and in that split second, the mouse gets free and starts running to the back door, and Bobo follows. And I said, Bobo, nice try. You did good, Bobo. Thank you. You're making me feel that I'm not so useless after all. At least we can try. And as my pity party began, a moment later, Bobo shows up at the front door. In his mouth is the broken mouse with his neck broken, and Bobo quickly deposits the mouse in front of me. And I said, lesson learned. Thank you, God. Bobo said, I'm not done. I'm not washed up. I'm not useless. God says when you're useless. God says when you're disabled. And God says when your work is through. And so my work was limited, but it wasn't through. Thank you, Bobo, for that story. The next story is about another Appalachia trip we took. And we had a family of seven, and we were putting in a water supply, and we were putting in plumbing, indoor plumbing, for the first time. And this family of seven were living next door in a trailer, but while we were doing the work, the patriarch, Mr. Corey, a man named Marshall, joined us and sat with us and watched everything we did and chuckled when the water would surprise us and spray in our faces and make us all a mess. Marshall was just with us every day, couldn't get enough of us, and the rest of the family was just in the trailer, and that was fine. And this was the day we were leaving. The day we were leaving, the kids who all had met Marshall and knew Marshall were amazed that as we were all greeting each other for the last time and saying our goodbyes, Marshall was nowhere to be found. And the kid said, I'm amazed that the one who was most into what we were doing isn't here to say goodbye. In my heart, I knew why Marshall wasn't there. This family was very old in their ways, very set. Marshall was the patriarch. And Marshall did not want to cry in front of anyone else. So Marshall was missing when we said our goodbye. And when we went back to the school where we were based and packed up and we were leaving the next day, in his roadster comes Marshall. Now his family isn't there. And he came and hugged every one of us and cried like a baby. Why these two stories about build sites? Why were they so important to me? Both of our scriptures for today discuss building. And they get into the idea of the ultimate build site. The amazing, beautiful thing about being in the family of God is that our Creator invites us to not just exist together with Him, but to be involved with the construction of the place in which we will live together. And what we think of heaven as a distant place, everywhere in the Bible, we're reminded heaven's where it's made. The kingdom is where the king rules, where the king has his way. And if it's the king of glory and the king of grace, I want to be in that hood. I want to be there. But there's a responsibility of that, of being there, of hoping to be there and dreaming to be there. It's listening to those passages in Scripture where Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to other things and invites us to help make that kingdom a reality. This is what my confirmation class has come to know as Extreme Makeover Kingdom Edition. They know the show, Extreme Makeover Home Edition. This is just an extreme home. And they know their job is put before them as a disciple to help that kingdom get built. In today's Old Testament, we heard the Christ will be the one who in verse 13 will build a home for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that we who have Christ are part of the household of God. In him, verse 21, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Christ is nothing less than the cornerstone on which this kingdom is built. One of the things we did in Appalachia, we had responsible, each group and each church had a responsibility for doing one of the morning devos. And so we devised one that would remind everybody that was there what a privilege it was to be serving in this way. And so we decided that we would have a toolbox and talking tools. And all the tools would have to get up and establish why they deserved to be in the Appalachia Service Project toolbox. For instance, the pliers would challenge the others and say, get a grip. The wrench would argue, that's fine, but what if someone goes nuts and bolts? And torque is cheap. Then the hammer would stand and say, well, I deserve to be in the Appalachia Service Toolbox. I'm the impact guy. I'll make sure it gets nailed. And then the wheelbarrow says, that's all good, but you'll need someone to carry the day. And the kids got into doing that so much. And so I relate it to the more recent group that I'm with in Bayport. And we came up with this shirt, and we nicknamed ourselves the crew. And the crew shirt has this quaint little thing called a blueprint on the front. The kids that are in the youth group only know computer graphics. They don't know blueprints. But a blueprint has, as our shirt says, who are we? We're the crew, the United Methodist Church of Bayport. And what's the project? Build God's kingdom. And what's the plan? And the plan is Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. King David listened to God as the Jerusalem temple was built. It didn't get built because David had skills as a foreman. It didn't get built because he had this architectural gift. It didn't get built because he was an organizational person or handy. He was a shepherd. The only tool he knew was a slingshot. But he listened to the master builder, and the temple got built. And we see it taking shape today, as day after day, a holy temple built by God, all of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Jesus wants us to bring all the materials and tools and skills and blood and sweat to the site. The ultimate habitat is not just for humanity, for if we build the kingdom, our eternal king will come, and this king will establish a household forever, free of the kind of senseless hate and brutality we were reminded of just 2 days ago. We read the headline and we said, I believe in God. This will never make sense to me. Indeed, it won't, because this is not of the kingdom. I believe in God. Wouldn't it be heaven if there were no people like this person doing those things? Wouldn't it be heaven on earth if we could live in peace? And that's what the kingdom's about. This kingdom that we're asked to participate in the building, we are led to do it by the king himself. And this king will heal the sick and give sight to the blind. This king will free the prisoner and the oppressed. This king will feed the hungry and quench those who thirst. This king will never have a time without loving us, will never leave us, will never forsake us. And this king will permit a kingdom of only justice, where only by compassion will we treat and be treated by one another. We will rest in this kingdom, and we will never no trial or hardship or hearts broken again. This king will rule with the royal scepter of grace, and all who dwell there will be heirs to it all. Do you want to help with this build? Can you imagine the finished product? Someone who knows how to put words together strung these. You may say, I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will live as one. Imagine. Amen.